my name is Marwa.
And I'm Erin.
And we are taking over Christian's White Light Show, and we have Joni with us today.
Hey.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Loving it here.
Great. So we're going to read a disclaimer before we start. This material contained in this website is for entertainment purposes only. This information is not intended to be construed as a medical diagnosis or treatment. This information should not take the place of a consultation with a physician or healthcare professional for medical diagnosis and or treatment. So let's get started.
So with us today, we have a couple witnesses. We have Marina and Dory.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
Nice. How are you guys?
Really excited to be here.
Yeah.
How's your day going?
Good.
Eventful?
Very uneventful. I cleaned my room. Kind of feel like a god. It's like clean floor.
So, Joni, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started on all this?
Sure. So I was a conventionally trained social worker for 10 years. I worked in the city, and I didn't believe in any of this whatsoever. I thought that this was fake. And in around 2003, I was very chemically sensitive. I was homebound. I was allergic to everything, and I wasn't doing well at all. An energy medicine practitioner came on my path, and he started healing me, and he introduced me to spiritual books. He said, did you ever hear of Louise Hay, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer? And I hadn't. So I started reading, and I loved it. So as I started reading, I started becoming gifted with abilities, and I was able to do hands-on healing and remote healing, and I could channel departed ones and pets. I started being able to see into bodies, and I could align chakras and clear them and repair them, and I was doing these exorcisms, taking energies out of people, and I was doing healings on pets, and I'm known for jumping into past lives. I can jump into other lifetimes and help a person understand where they got tripped up in another lifetime, which affects this lifetime. So the list kind of goes on, and I humbly say that I'm here to help people with the awakening. There's definitely a shift going on here. And I come to Drew University to just spread this to people and have students have the opportunity to ask questions and learn more.
Great, thank you.
So on the topic of questions, if we have any listeners right now that want to call in, the number is 973-408-4567. Feel free to call in anytime, and we can get your questions answered. But Dory, you haven't been in one of these before. Do you want to, is there anything you want to ask?
What do you think of this university? Because I've heard so many ghost stories on this campus. Like, do you have any opinions on it?
Well, I have heard things, and I've spoken with people who said that there are dorms and buildings that have departed ones hanging around, and I think that's true. I haven't sensed that. I haven't gone around. I haven't done that specifically where I'm going in and seeing what's up. But I have heard about this, and I think that it's important for people to know that ghosts or discarnates, the ones that didn't go home, didn't go to the light, like, go to the light, Caroline, for those people who remember Poltergeist, that they're stuck. So they're in like a limbo. They don't know they're dead. And that it's kind of sad. Mm-hmm. It's not like a good place. You wouldn't want to be there. Like, if you have the opportunity, when you ultimately go and there's that white light and they say, hey, you want to have joy and rapture and meet all of your friends, like, take it. Take that ticket. So in terms of what people can do about it, if they sense anything, they can... they can very just quickly, without engaging in conversation with a spirit, they can say, go to the light, you know, and just put out the intention that, like, heaven opens up, if you want to call it heaven, whatever, just there's an opening and they go home. That would probably be the biggest gift that you could do. And if you're feeling uncomfortable, like you're feeling like someone's spooking you, that there's some energy that's spooking you, I would suggest putting white light around yourself, which is the highest frequency. It's love. And that would assist. You could also call upon Archangel Michael to protect you too. And then you could also demand that that spirit leave and just say, leave me alone. This is my domain. Be gone. And then you're good.
Could you share an experience you had with something like this, with a spirit not passing?
Oh, I do these a lot. I'll get cosmic because I like getting cosmic. I'm a healer as well. And I've done healings on women who have fertility issues, endometriosis, tough periods, clots, the whole thing.
Represent.
There you go.
I have endometriosis.
Mm-hmm.
As do I.
And what is that?
Oh, well, if we want to get clinical, it's so in your menstrual cycle, when you ovulate, the egg goes down, tries to, you know, lands in your uterus, and the blood and tissue that fills in, that's the endometrium. So endometriosis is when your body essentially, the endometrium will not always go in the uterus. It'll implant, like, outside of it. So it'll attach to, like, exterior walls of, like, organs next to it, whatever, and it causes a lot of, like, inflammation and pain. Yeah. It's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
And in your experience, you've successfully healed those?
Well, no. So the women would have all different reproductive system issues. And sometimes I've found that there are babies that have not gone home. So they've died in the womb. They've been stillborn, miscarriages just that haven't been cleaned out. And that the spirit, the soul of that embryo or fetus is still there. And I've had to send them to the light. And then the goal, the outcome would be is that the person could possibly have a child as a result of that because the baby's spirit is blocking them from actually conceiving. Or they don't have endometriosis anymore. They don't have fibroids and polyps, etc. Or bad periods and clots. So might be TMI for some, but for other people, they're like, wow, and that's just okay. So that's just one example of where there's a soul that's in and it has to go out. And then there are other souls that I've encountered that are in buildings and homes, and I have to send them away. I have to send them to the light. I just don't deal with poltergeists. Those are scary to me.
Really?
I cannot deal with that. That was where I tried to do that once, and it friggin' shapeshifted into the beams of an attic, and I thought that I got it, and then the person that I was trying to assist told me that it was still opening up drawers in their house and doing crazy stuff, and I'm like, I'm not going there. I can't do that.
Well, I have a fun poltergeist story.
Go ahead.
So spirits or energies seem to be really attracted to me. I always have this issue. They don't bother me. They just show up around me, and I don't see them. I just feel them, and it freaks me out. So I had this one actually really bad one right after I moved out of my old house and moved on a campus, and it kind of followed me around for a few months. And so I finally saw like an energy healer up in Maine to clear it out. But on my way up to Maine, I stopped at my girlfriend's house at the time, and it followed me up. Just jiggle it. Is it? Yeah, it sounds like it's working now. Okay, yeah. So it followed me up to Maine, but it stopped at my girlfriend's house at the time. And what this woman said was that, you know, spirits are kind of attracted to each other. So what ended up happening is because this thing that was kind of following me around was in my girlfriend's house because I was there, a poltergeist came in. And after I left, her washing machine would start on its own. The TV would turn on and off. Like, little drawers would open up in the kitchen. Yeah. And she was like, Erin, I don't know what's going on. So I talked to the woman that cleared this energy away from me. And it turns out she's like, yeah, you just dropped off a poltergeist at her house.
Oh.
So they just...
like a hitchhiker.
Basically,
totally
yeah.
Hitchhiker.
Yeah. So she said it's just about intention. And they're like... they're like bratty five-year-olds, you know, they might get a little worse before they get better because you just have to be really firm with them. So they might throw a temper tantrum, but if you're still firm with, like, this is my home, get out, they'll leave. And it left eventually, but yeah, I dropped off a poltergeist.
Oh, that's a story. No, and some people, some psychics, healers and such, they don't mind working with poltergeists. They're totally in, like, the person you were dealing with. That's not my bag. We all have our own bar. You know, I only go so far.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's get started.
Any
questions you guys have for her?
Yeah. So Dorian and I are graduating in about a month. And would you have any, like, insights for us? Because, you know, it's, like, kind of overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to go first?
Oh.
Flip a coin.
She will.
Okay, let's see. Insights for the future. I feel like there's someone that you're going to encounter it's not a warning like a woo type of a thing, because I'm not a doom and gloom psychic. Don't step on their toes. There's someone that you will find very interesting, but they're covetous. They want their own, I don't know if it's attention, space, and it's not steer clear of them, but they, I don't know if it's a power position they're in. Get to know them. You might want to keep a little bit of a distance, but don't infringe. Don't go over into their territory or into what they're doing. There's something they're covetous of. Let's see if this is work or play. More professional.
That makes sense. I work in politics.
I was just about to say that.
Oh, look at that. There you go. Okay, let me go in more about that. Do you feel that you use your scruples and that you take notes in your head regarding what's going on, or do you sometimes say things before thinking?
I have a tendency to say things quickly.
Okay, then this is your work. Your work is to find more of the balance, pull back a bit, because they want you to take notes, but not literally. In your head, they want you to take notes. More listening and assessing, because your jumping in could get you in trouble. It's finding the balance. One of the big spiritual themes is about that yin-yang homeostasis balance, mm-hmm. for like everything. So in your case, if you have a tendency to go over into someone's territory or boundary or speak before you've thought about it, you're not in balance. Pull back, assess, know who's around you, know what you're dealing with, which is really not just for you, it's for everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the greatest advice for us all, right? And then assess whether you're to move forward, go in, say something, get involved, or wait, or even not get involved, or not say anything, or avoid. So that's what they want you to do. Not now, but in time you will be heard. Doesn't mean people aren't hearing you now, but on a grander scale you will be heard. So I don't know. Do you want to be known more publicly yesterday?
I think I like the idea of contributing, making a difference.
You will, not yet. So you're going to take steps and steps and steps, and you're going to grow, and you're going to contribute a lot. And then at some point, you will be more in the forefront. Not yet. Other people, it seems, they'll have their day, and there's almost like an aging out process. As people retire, you know, you move your way up. And then you're there, and then you'll have fledglings, and it's just the cycle. That's like with everything also. That's the way it is. So you will be heard, not yet. Give yourself that time, be patient, and watch it unfold. And if you feel that you're doing what your parents want you to do, ask yourself what you want to do. You might be doing it already, what you want to do. But if there's anything that you're not doing for yourself, and I hope I don't get like a letter bomb from your parents later. Do things for yourself. Ask yourself, who am I doing this for? Who am I pleasing? Sometimes we do things to please our parents. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's generational and with loyalty of the family and whatever. That's not a bad thing. Ask yourself why you're doing something. What's your motive? See if you're getting your needs met and if you're being true to yourself, or if you're doing this for someone else and you're betraying yourself.
Yeah, that's a lot to think about. Big picture self-reflection.
Yeah.
What type of work are you doing afterwards? Do you know yet?
No, I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an idea of what you'd like to do?
Yeah, I'd like to go and like work on a government staff or something like that.
Okay. Nice.
That seems to fit.
Yeah.
And good luck.
Thanks.
Does that mean I get to defy your mom's wishes and tattoo the bottom of your foot?
That's a hard maybe.
It's just the bottom of your foot.
Yeah, it'll fade. It'll fade.
It'll fade.
Real
That's
quick.
That's what matters.
Would you like to go?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So this is your future. Let's see.
Dorian's up.
Mm-hmm. There's something you haven't asked for. There's something you still want and you haven't gotten it, but you haven't asked. Do you know what you need to ask for?
No, I don't know what that means.
I'm going in to see if they'll even give more. Do you feel that you're worthy of contributing to society?
Whoa! I don't know.
Ding!
Think on that one.
That's a good one, then. The fact that they got you not knowing, isn't that great?
Yeah, I got.
That's
yeah,
a big
that's a liking. So liking that. Wow. So you would be blocking yourself from going forward because I get on an existential level, you're not sure whether you're worthy of it. Oh, there are other people that do that. I don't know if I could do that. There are other people that can do that, but maybe I can. There are other people that have that given to them, but I've never gone. I'm just not going. Oh, no. Never. And there's this chatter that's there. You might be aware of it. You might not, or it could be fleeting. I don't know. Could be unconscious. But that's the block. Can I go in and see where that comes from?
Yeah, sure.
Let's see. In different lifetimes, you've had very spiritual parents. Do you have spiritual parents in this one?
I don't communicate with my father, mm-hmm. but my mom is very Catholic.
So this is the opposite. So I'm getting other lifetimes where it would be like a woo-woo mom like me, where it's all cosmic junk that comes out of our mouths. You're a spirit in a body, and you're here to help with the awakening. And take every day and be in the light. And it's okay, everyone has their own journey. Okay, so you've had many parents that were very spiritual, but there was a condition. So they sounded way spiritual, but they said, you ready? Don't mess up. Oh. That's paradox, because that is mm-hmm. like a mind F. That yeah. is so loaded. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you're a blessed soul, you're free with your free will, and we're all here to learn and grow. But don't mess up. So you have had a conflict with who you are and what this is about, and there's a pressure as to whether you might screw up. Do you feel in this lifetime that you might be afraid of possibly, quote unquote, screwing up?
I grew up in a Chinese household, so everything was don't screw up.
There you go. There you go. So that's called the bleed-through effect. So you've got other lifetimes with that message. Those other lifetimes are going on at the same time as this one, because there's no mm-hmm. such thing as time. They're all concurrent. So that lifetime is affecting this one, and you created another lifetime here with a similar theme. Let's get rid of karma. Now, the karma is that you blame yourself for screwing up in other lifetimes. And you might have blamed the accusers, the ones that had that said you screwed up or don't screw up, or both. Let's get rid of karma, because those are negative energy ties that keep you from moving forward here and everywhere. So we ball them all up, all those lifetimes across time and space, forwards and backwards across all generations. And you say inside, I forgive myself.
Oh, yeah.
Forgive everyone and everything. Ask for everyone and everything's forgiveness. Oh, yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of talking to. There's a lot of conversation. And there are wounds, emotional wounds, that are being healed. You're going to feel better. You might get a little quiet for a few days. You might feel a little weird. But that's okay. Like, you want a cocoon? where you might be thinking about things and feel a little bit like you want to retreat, you're healing. Last bit, thank God for these life lessons. Between now and tonight, sip water. It'll help flush any negative energies through the physical body. Now I'm going to get practical because we were elsewhere doing that. So now I want to go and answer the question about here forward because you've now released blocks. Let's see about that worthiness and you better not screw up thing. So I see you tiptoeing forward. You might start off tiptoeing. And then I see you're moving faster. And that's the way you work. That's the way you operate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's your essence. So you're going to go slowly. Not baby steps like they're infantilizing you. Just slowly. You're going to be cautious. And you'll watch and see everything. And then as you feel more comfortable and as you grow, you're going to be stronger and your steps are going to be heard more and you'll move faster. And then you're going to be achieving more of what you want. In the beginning, you might feel like it's molasses, but it's okay because you're very diligent and you're very conscientious. So if other people are zooming by, don't worry about it because that's their process. Your process is different. You don't operate that way. You're getting to your goal in a different way. If you put time as a measure, then it'll make you feel that you're failing or too slow, but it's not so. That's an illusion. Your end is different. Your means to the end is different as well, and it's all good. You'll be striving for success. You'll be growing. You will be achieving goals. Some things might go to the wayside. So some of the things that you have wanted are not going to be what you get. And that's perfect. So if things don't work out in certain areas that you had wanted, remind yourself that it was for your highest good that you didn't have those things happen because it wasn't really on the agenda. And you need music around.
You're a music major.
Are you a you're a music major? There you go. Of course. So, yeah. So, are you doing classical in this one?
In the major?
Yeah. Or is it a mix?
I'm doing composition, but it's, I guess, like probably neoclassical in nature.
Okay, so I'm just going to mention, do you have any Tchaikovsky or Shostakovich going on?
I really like Tchaikovsky, but it's mostly about Debussy right now.
Okay, so do you compose?
Yeah, that's my thesis.
Did you do a concerto?
Like piano? I didn't do a concerto, but I did a suite, like three compositions for piano.
So there will probably be a concerto, but I see wind instruments, and I feel that you know one person who will contribute, the other people come along. Do you know violin?
Do I know violin? No.
Christine does. We have a friend that plays violin.
My girlfriend knows how to play violin.
Do you play an instrument?
I play piano. I sing.
You might write for a movie.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
That'd be fun.
Keep your eyes open for opportunities for that. I see a stage door. Huh. Just keep all options open. No matter what happens, you're on the right track.
Cool.
And have fun and good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have you ever thought about that type of work or no? I took a music and film class last semester, and I found it really interesting and rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I watch movies differently now because of the musical sort of soundscape that people create inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting.
Do you ever watch, like, Foley art videos?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so fascinating.
My uncle is sort of a sound designer for movies. He worked on Lord of the Rings.
What?
I told you this, Erin. You just are really forgetful.
Listen, you're right.
He was actually in the textbook that we were using for that class.
Wow.
I went to a certain page and it was like, David Farmer is working here on the set of Lord of the Rings. And I was that's my uncle.
That's great.
Great stuff.
Small world.
Yeah, really.
You should do Erin next. Would you like to?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not graduating, but I have kind of hit this block of I don't know if I want to take some time off before I continue my degree or what. And it's been kind of this huge thing because I don't know if I did take time off. I don't know what I'd do exactly.
I don't get much time off. I don't see that. I don't see much time. They give me a month. Okay. Are you going to graduate school or would you be looking for a job?
I don't know. It depends. I'm currently an art major, so if I did go to graduate school, it'd probably be for, like, an MFA or something like that.
Let's see. Nope. I don't see you taking time off. I'm going to go in and see what you could do. If this is graduate, it could be if you want to. That's open.
Yeah.
The MFA?
Mm-hmm.
Very open. Let me see about job. I'm not getting anything. I'm getting something, but I'm not getting it as the most meaningful. I feel like, do you do printmaking?
I was actually going to sign up for printmaking next semester.
Yeah, so I feel like there's a printer.
And I'm in photo right now. I'm a photography minor, so my medium of choice is photography. So I do a lot of prints.
Prints. Oh, my God. And it's like, and it's not prints like as in Let's Party Till It's 1999 prints. I just keep getting prints. I'm like, prints, what's prints? So there we go. Mm. So I feel like you're in a studio. It's a shop. I feel like there's a studio. Let's see. I think you're getting paid. Have you looked around for photo studios to get paid?
No, I haven't.
You do that?
I might. I actually used to manage a barn, so I've been looking at more outdoor type jobs.
You can if you want to. I'm not getting for right now that it would be a Sakatuya experience. It would be tiding you over and feel good, which is fine, but not in the professional arena unless it's a studio where you're doing prints. Let's see if you go to grad school, that is open. Let's see if you don't go. Now, would the working be working on a farm be the profession, or that's an interim?
I don't know if it would be a farm necessarily, but I just like, I like working outside. I like working with my body. Like, I don't know, manual labor.
Yeah,
it's fun for me.
See.
I like nature.
Would you work on an organic dairy farm?
Maybe. I like cows.
That's something that you could do. And also, if you wanted to, you could. Would you do organics?
I don't know. The barn I managed was a stable. It was a horse stable.
They say you could also be a field inspector, so you could get to that point where you learn about agriculture and you could get involved in ag. That's something that you could go down as well, because you could work for the government, you could do inspections of farms. So that's something else.
That's what my friend Savannah does. That's what she's been doing over the summers.
Okay, cool.
Department of Ag farm inspections.
Oh, how's that been going for her?
She loves it. She gets to pet all sorts of cows and alpacas and stuff. Apparently that's the dream.
Oh, that's
have you ever pet an alpaca?
Yeah.
Yes.
Has
one ever spit on you?
No.
That's Thomas.
Oh.
So I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, I've been kind of stuck in this cycle of what next, if it's school or work. And
you don't have to be in school now. If you want to pursue the outdoors, you can. you could go in a few years for a master's if you want to, but if you master's in fine arts, but if you like the outdoors, you might be changing your ideas about what you want to do.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to go in the direction of field inspection and assisting farmers' growth and production, you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have to see whether that involves a higher degree or whether you would just get into it.
Yeah.
You're fine. You're fine. And I don't see you settling. You're not going to be settling at all. At all. Whatever you do, you're not going to say, oh, well, oh, God, I guess I'm just going to have to do this forever.
Yeah.
You'll do it. And if you don't like it, then you change your story.
Okay.
You're going to be very satisfied in your life. People are going to come to you for assistance. You're going to be lending an ear along the way to many, many, many people.
Okay.
Many people. Does that resonate?
Yeah. Bit.
Do they all do that? Are they doing that already where people are coming to you? What do you think of this? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I feel like I talk to people a lot advice-wise, but that's kind of the friend group that we have. We just kind of talk all the time.
That's good because it's going to prepare you for a lot of people coming to you.
Yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
So in your getting experience with people's different concerns and their issues,
yeah,
you're going to have that like under your belt. It's like pseudo-counseling. Like a layperson,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to be doing it much more with people. I think on a professional level, people are going to be coming to you with issues.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you're going to be a counselor. That's also something that might happen. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You might be doing that also. That might be, I mean, and I don't mean also, that might be another avenue. So I see you could do MFA, you could do ag, or you could go into counseling. And mm-hmm. then if you do that, I see you with teens.
Get you an MSW.
What?
Master's social work.
Oh, right.
And yep. That's what I had.
Mm. My sister is working to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think I see drugs and alcohol. I see a lot of addiction. I see substance abuse if you go in that direction, that's who you'd be working with, teens with substance abuse.
My older brother was in and out of rehab all through high school.
So you have the empathy. You already can identify with that.
Yeah.
So you've got options, honey.
Okay.
It's good. Cool.
Yay,
it's
sage,
good.
The sage lesbian.
Me.
Yes.
And with that, and that was truth. Oh. Is that a call-in?
It is a call-in.
It is a call-in.
Okay, yeah. Let's right. take that.
All right. Hi, and welcome to The White Light. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Christian. I've been listening since the show started and I wanted to get my own reading. My phone is about to die, but I'm wondering, I'm about to graduate. What's the future gotten hold for me?
Let's see. Before I even go on, before your phone dies, I want to thank you, Christian, for the 2 years of hosting The White Light. You've been a blessing in my life. Thank you for bringing Aaron and Marwa on to bring this into year 3 for next fall, and bless you for everything.
My pleasure.
Okay, now I'm going in. Let's see. Your drawings are going to get known. You are going to, I don't know if these are postcards. I don't know. That could be metaphor, but there are drawings that are going to take shape and they're going to be passed around. They use the term noteworthy. I want to go in regarding what that is because they're many, many people see these drawings. Let's see where they go. Well, it feels like, you know how Hallmark would have the Boynton? Do you remember Boynton? She was the one that would have they were like cartoon drawings. You'd have mm-hmm. to look up Sandra Boynton, B-O-Y-N-T-O-N. So there are different, like, Hallmark artists and such, and they're known. And I just feel like you solicit your work to someone who produces them en masse, and you are on shelves. Like, you know, this is more maybe, you know, like the Got Milk?
Yeah.
Like the Got Such and Such, mm-hmm. or what's the other one? Keep Calm and,
yeah.
right? So I feel like you, Christian, are going to have notes, and they're going to be drawings of yours, and they're going to be everywhere. And people will buy. There'll be like little plaques you'll have on your desk. They could be in poster form and T-shirts, and they're everywhere. And, you know, like, what's the other one? It's not Juicy. It's the, what were the, it was the, oh my gosh. Wasn't Keith Haring. That's also like another one that everyone had.
Shepherd Fairey is a big one.
What about Life is Good?
Like, those, that's another one. Like, the Life is Good. And then there was the other one, and it was always that big rose, and it looked like it was a tattoo, but it was on all those shirts. And
oh,
that.
Ed Hardy?
Ed Hardy. Like the Ed Hardy.
The
thank
next
you.
Ed Hardy.
Wow.
Just like that. Yeah, man. And so I feel that you don't minimize what you can do, and I feel like you got a trademark. You got a, like, what is it? It's not, is it trademark? You got a trademark?
A signature?
I'm not sure because I can't read your lips without my distance glasses. So it's like LLC, trademark. I forgot what the other one is, but whatever it is, you have to make sure that you have licensing to all of your work so no one can take it when you submit it. And someone's going to pick you up and we're all going to know you. Oh, you'll be on caps. You'll be on T-shirts. It'll go on for a few years, but you make a bundle of money in that time, and that's enough. And then as a result of your being known in that way, you could do whatever you want. You know, like the horse riding, Erin, like you can ride, you could like have a farm, you could like do, you know, and then Erin could work on your farm. I mean, it's like that.
Let me work on your farm.
So it's wonderful, and this will be down the road, like maybe in 10 years. Feels like in about 10 years this happens. In the meantime, you're getting a lot together. You're just like, there's a lot of energy, like you have combustion. You got to like get it out. You got to get it out, and you're just doing and doing, doing. And then you have this bright idea one day, and you put it down, and then you might solicit a friend's service, like, what do you think of this? And then they go, you've got it. And then you go out, and then you start pounding the pavement, and someone picks it up, and you're done. Mm-hmm. And I hope that assists.
Well, that's awesome.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. Marwa, you have a question?
I'm only a freshman.
Yeah.
But what do you foresee in my upcoming years at Drew?
Let's see.
What is your
major now? Do you know?
Yes.
What is it?
I want to double major in poli-sci and economics.
Let's see. Okay, so this is an education piece for y'all because I don't know much about that stuff. So I channel it without my fund of knowledge. So I kind of have to like go in general, and then y'all can help me maybe. And if not, you'll get the general until one day you'll understand it. So what I get is you'll tabulate the bills. So I'm like, okay, what's that? So I go, is she going to be an accountant? No. So then I get it's more financial. You're going to start doing something more financial, and it's keeping track. I don't know if this is an auditor. I don't know if you're going to be doing auditing. I don't know, but you're like an overseer of budgets and accounts receivable, like that type of a thing, the in and the out, the flow of the money, making sure that everything is working correctly. So that is an econ concept. Poli-sci, I'm not getting so much. I'm getting it's more finance, it's more the economics, the distribution of funds, commerce, trade, budgets, making sure they're balanced, which sounds like an accountant, but I don't see you as an accountant. It's more econ. So when you go forward, take an auditing class and find out a little bit about that. See, like, maybe on an advisory panel. That's what I get. So that's what I get. You're going to know, though. Mm-hmm. If you're bored, like out of your mind, you're going to know that that's not your thing. And that's for all of us. So if our interest is piqued, that's when we go towards it, because that's, there's a message there. It means we're drawn to it. We like it. That's where we could grow and flourish. Drop things, not necessarily, and the Drew staff will be like, wait a minute, you're telling her to drop things. if there's a course that doesn't work, you either, you know, drop it before the withdrawal pass time, you know, that date. Or if there's a major that you don't want, drop that. Or an idea, drop that. You'll be guided. You're going to know. I think your friendship base remains stable. It feels like it's about the same. You might feel at some point that you wander, so you might feel a little aimless at one point, like, why am I doing this, and feel a little flounderish, but you need to. It seems that you're going to need to question things at some point. Maybe in your senior year at the beginning, you'll be like, oh my gosh, like, this is it. Oh my gosh. And then you might stop and seize a little bit. It's okay. That's normal. Questioning things, that's always normal. No matter what year you're in, it's so normal to question. Am I on the right path? Am I doing the right thing? What am I going to do later on? But I feel like for all of you here, all of you, that you're all going to go to where you need to be. Back to you, Marwa. Still going in regarding your experience here. Also, take time out for you. So it gets a lot, like, you're doing a lot. You'll be very busy. Sometimes you're going to need to cocoon and just stop and just, like, go off. Like, be by yourself. Take time off. Take a walk by yourself. If you're listening to people's problems and it's much, you can say, well, I got to go to sleep now, and you leave. Like, if it's late at night and they just keep going on, like, I got to go to sleep. You can say no. And if you feel like there's pressure to succeed, see how much of that is the pressure you put on yourself. Because there's societal pressure we all have about success. What does that even mean, right? In spiritual land, success is doing what you love and being at one with that success. But that 3D success thing, if you feel that there's pressure, just see how much of you're contributing to versus how much it is societal versus parental versus collegial. Get that straight in your head. Try and reduce the amount of pressure that you have if you're putting any on yourself. And you're going to be growing as a person. You're going to be changing. I see you shifting. You're more honest with yourself. That's what happens. You start saying things to yourself with better judgment. You care about people very much. And if people are upset, don't slide into their misery. Don't get caught up in their drama. It's not yours. You could be there for them, but know where you end and they begin. Know your boundaries. Does this resonate?
Very much, yeah.
It does. Good. That makes me happy.
In my future, will I find something new that I love?
Something new?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Ooh, I never... Whenever I come to this station, I always get questions that I have never been asked before. Love, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Never bored. I say that always. I tell all my friends, you're never going to be bored. I'm never going to be bored. Okay, so let's see. Yeah. So there's something about the timing. And you might, something might happen where you go, the timing, like, it didn't happen, or the timing, something with the timing. But you're going to be learning about the timing, that it doesn't matter. Like, sure, it's the timing, but on the other hand, it's perfect if it doesn't happen because it wasn't supposed to happen. But yeah, it is in the timing. So there's something about learning about the timing of something. And that'll come to be apparent when that happens. And maybe you'll want to blame yourself, but you don't have to because it's all perfect. So in terms of new, that'll be new for you. Now, if you mean in terms of like a new experience, sure, that's going to happen all the time. There are going to be boundless experiences that you'll have. It's just going to go on and on. You're not going to be bored. You're going to be happy. There are a lot of friends. They say you're going to be sufficiently paid.
Ooh.
Liking.
Look at you.
Uh-huh. So there you are. You're set. Mm-hmm. You're good. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of peace around that. Sufficiently paid. I like that. I've never channeled it that way. Meaning it's more than enough, and you will be remunerated for your services. So mm-hmm. some people gripe about, I'm doing all of this and I'm not getting paid enough. You will be identified for what you're doing, and you will be remunerated accordingly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that at some point you might even ask for more, because not in a piggy way. You might ask for more and say, I deserve this. I've been working here, and I deserve this raise or this bonus or this commendation, this promotion.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that assists.
Mm-hmm. The thing about the timing really resonated with me.
In what way?
I think that I'm someone who is organized in an unhealthy way. And if things don't happen at the right time, like I'm expected to graduate in 4 years, I'm expected to have an internship in the future, expected to take these classes, then I feel less. If I'm not doing the... I'd say, what's the word? I guess the guide, the societal guide.
Mm-hmm.
Then I feel less worthy than everyone else.
Can you others in this room relate to that?
Well, here's the thing. I'm 24 and a sophomore. I took 3.5 years off mm-hmm. after high school because I knew I couldn't go to college. And that was something I wrestled with a lot, was like, I should be in college. And even now I'm like, I should finish college. But I don't really know if it's exactly the right thing for me. So mm-hmm. your own personal timing is more important than society's timing.
I think that's the thing.
Yes.
I don't think I haven't reached a point where I value my personal timing. I don't know how to.
Beautiful. Yeah. That is key. And so when you ask, first of all, thank you, Erin, for sharing that, because that just dovetailed exactly what this channel was, what that message was for Marwa. But the new is coming into that is your mastery. Mm-hmm. And that we're all socialized. I'm included. We're all socialized about the shoulds. I should have been a social worker. I should have been a social worker until the end. I got hit with abilities. And then I had to go through this angst. What the heck is happening to me? And now I'm doing this. And that's not what society says is even real. They think it's whack. And here mm-hmm. I am. And I'm helping people. And they're saying I am.
Yeah.
And they're validating that something's really happening here. So we have to challenge what is being given to us, whether it's by parents, society, or both, then go inside and ask ourselves, am I in touch with my knowing? What do I want? And the shoulds, the woulds, the coulds, all that's pressure.
Mm.
And that's really hard. I mean, we should wake up every morning and maybe brush our teeth and shower. Those are some shoulds. You know, it's good to eat and drink water. You know, say hello to someone, talk, use your vocal cords. I mean, walk, use your body, et cetera, use your mind.
Mm-hmm.
They're basic shoulds. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, we're talking about other things that are a little more abstract.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the fact that you're even aware of what they gave you, mm-hmm. you're already winning. You're already right there. And that's like with all of you, that what they gave you, if you're even just aware of what they're talking about, you're already set, because you're aware of it. Now the next step is, what do you want to do with it? Do you want to challenge yourself, or do you want to just keep going the way it is? This is a school. This is, I call it Earth School. So we all, we all respectively mm-hmm. have the opportunity to grow. That's mm-hmm. why we're here. So with every challenge that's before us, whether it's someone coming to us and challenging us, or an experience or something within us that's a challenge, we have the opportunity to learn from it. So when we ultimately pass and go back home, meaning die, then they ask, what'd you learn? That's what this whole thing is about, because we love it here, and we love growing that much.
Mm-hmm. In what ways do you see all of us challenging ourselves
as a group? Because I could do that, like generally, really? Like what the general theme would be for all of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see. And I'll include Christian. Let's see. What it seems is that all of you want to make your mark here. That all of you want to make an impression in some way on this world. That you all come in and that you want people to hear you. You want people to know you. You want people to believe that you've made a difference in some way. That you, five of you, you all have it in your hearts that this world has to go through some type of a change. There has to be some type of a disruption, and each one of you in your respective ways are going to disrupt this. You're going to disrupt, and you are going to help shift people so they might know that there are better ways to do things, that there are intense strategies that you could endeavor in, and that you can do without bloodshed, that you could do with peace and love. And that people can, in fact, come together and agree that we all in some way can bridge, no matter how far apart we appear to be. You can always find a bridge, and that's unity. And that's what I see all of your souls wanting.
Mm-hmm. Got about 5 more minutes.
Okay.
So is any quick questions anyone has before we're done?
It could be anything, like spirit animal or...
Yeah, you can ask about Charlie, your relationship with Charlie.
Oh, really?
The cat. Yeah, I asked about Brander and Buzz.
I have a cat who... So my sister's girlfriend found her in Maine, and the cat took to her, and she's been passed between the three of us. And Aaron sometimes.
Yeah, love Charlie.
Yeah, she's kind of a little gremlin. She doesn't really... It takes a while for her to warm up to people. But she also really hates men. But she's great.
What would you like to know?
I'm not sure. What did...
I asked about... I think knowing my pets in past lives. So,
oh, yeah, that would be.
You
really want to
know how you've known?
Yeah.
Or if you have run across
this
her.
Is Charlie.
Charlie, yeah.
She's a gem.
It's a she.
Yeah.
Charlie the she. Let's see.
Chuckles for short.
Let me see. So a few times that you picked her up and she was wandering, she was astray, and I see you're picking her up, like scooping her, like under her belly, and then she'd flop on either side. Just you'd scoop her and she'd hang. And you'd carry her around, and she liked that very, very much.
She would hate that now.
Interesting.
She does not want her belly to be touched in any way, shape, or form.
Look at that.
And it looks so soft.
It looks really enticing.
Yeah.
You can't touch. No, like a sack of potatoes.
Oh, my God.
Total
I wish.
Sack of potato, like a literally a you. Like, literally. Your friends... For sure. Let's see why she's here for you. She talks to you. Is there a meow, meow, meow? Is there a whole conversation that goes on literally? Like, do you hear the meow, meow verbal or no?
She is verbal, but not as much as some other cats, but she is verbal to a couple people.
So there's a lot of conversation with you. So then it's on a higher level. There's the constant chatter. Hey, remember when? There's a lot of reminiscing as if you're in a bar. Hey, let's knock back a few. Remember the olden days when we used to? There's a lot of reminiscing. Very sentimental cat. Let's see.
She is a very sentimental cat.
In what way?
Because so many of her family, like, comes in and out of her lives. Like, my sister's girlfriend is originally, like, from Pakistan, but currently does not live in the States. And so this cat has been passed through multiple people, and she is spiteful and angry when you leave her. Whenever I come back, Laura left the country for 2 weeks, my sister, and then when she came back, the cat was pissed.
Yeah.
She was like, how dare you leave me? I'm upset with you.
her whole gig is she wants to be heard. This whole thing with verbal and the whole talking, she likes being the spokesperson. She likes attention and the spokesperson. So she's here to bring you in, to hold you, communicate with you, be a partner, be a friend. It's support. It's very, very even, as if the two of you are sitting on the bar stool together as equals. And that there's a lot of chatting. And if you chatted back and said, yeah, you're this, da, 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 like literally having conversation, chatting, it would flow.
I do talk to her.
There you go. Beautiful. That's part of this.
All right. So time's up. Joni, where can people find you?
If people are interested in finding out more about me, they can go to my website. Mm-hmm. That's www.jonies, J-O-A-N-I-E-S, whitelighthealing.com. You could find me on Facebook, Joni's White Light Healing. You could like that fan page. You could find me personally on Facebook, Joni Isinger. If you want to friend me, just tell me how you found me. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing some events here. I was at the Do-It-Yourself De-Stress event last week at the EC. That was a great event. And I'm available for Skype and phone sessions. I do this privately, and I have come on campus in the past to do sessions for students if they can't get off campus if they don't have a car.
Great.
And I want to thank you both, Erin and Marwa, for being the new hosts. I look forward to doing this again in the fall for the third year for episode 11. This is episode 10. For episode 11 of The White Light. And thank you both witnesses for being here. Thank you, Honey Pies, for showing up. And you're both, no, there's a graduation.
Yeah.
Both,
yeah, both of them.
Happy graduation and good luck.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.